Radio East River, our station, our talent, and our people.
Radio East River, ons stasie, ons talent, ons mense. WhatsApp ons by 064-536-9095. Talk to us, die ding ruk hier. Tune in to the leading internet radio station in the mother city, Radio East River. For more information, log on to our website, which is www.radioeasterriver.co.za.
I'm already loved more than I could imagine. Are you a business owner, farmer, employer, or manager? CISA helps you with all your labor law and legal compliance needs. Let us take care of your UIF, OHS, BEE, POPI compliance and labor law, so that you can focus on running your business with peace of mind. Visit us at cisa.co.za. That's SEESA.co.za. Since 1998. CISA. Your business. Sorted.
Yes, sir.
Our station, our talent, our people.
Good morning, everybody. This is Will Fritzl here, coming to you live from Radio East River. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this new day. Thank you, Lord, that you woke us up this morning. Thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. And this is another day to follow that journey. Lord, we ask that you lead us, that you guide us in this time that we will spend in your presence. Let us know what's on your mind. Let us know what you want us to do. Guide us and lead us and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I'd like to speak to you from the book of Matthew, Matthew 6. And if we can turn to verse 25, and Jesus speaks here, and Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than the birds of the air and the flowers in the field?" So Jesus is speaking here, and he says, don't worry. I'd like to start out there. Jesus says, do not worry. Do not worry what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and what you shall be clothed with. So he's talking about the cares of life. He's talking about ordinary things that we sometimes worry about, the cares of life. Jesus says, do not worry. Do not fear. The original King James says, take no thought about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and what you shall be clothed with. And then he says, is not life more valuable than clothes and food and the cares of life? Is not the fact that you're alive, that you live, is that not of more value? And then he goes on to say, look at the birds in the air. Look at the flowers in the field. Have you ever seen a bird worried? Have you ever seen a bird sitting on a branch and looking concerned and worried about where its next meal is going to come from? Worried about its cheeks? Jesus says, look at that bird and be like that bird. Be carefree. Don't have too much care about what you're going to do, about what you shall eat, about what you're going to do, about what you shall drink, about what you're going to do, about what you shall be clothed with. Jesus is saying, depend on me. Look to me. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Another translation says, don't fret. Don't fear. Because worry is a form of fear. Worry is a deadly killer. Worry is focusing on and meditating on the devil's lies. It's meditating on it. The word meditate means to focus on something and run it over and over in your mind and think about it the whole time. When you close your eyes, for instance, our traditional definition of meditation would be to just focus on something and run that thought through your mind the whole time. And that's what Jesus says we shouldn't do. Don't meditate on the devil's lies. Do not worry. Worry is a form of fear. Worry is focusing on and meditating on and feeding on and running through your mind over and over the devil's lies, what the devil suggests, what the devil whispers to you. You're not going to make it. You don't have enough money. You're not going to even measure up. You're not good enough. How are you going to pay that bill? How are you going to pay the rent? You're not going to make it at work. They're not going to employ you permanently. Your contract is going to come to an end. They're not going to renew it. You see, worry is meditating on everything that can go wrong, every negative thing. Worry is a form of fear. Some people think it's irresponsible not to worry. But Jesus is clear here where he says, do not worry. Do not worry. And then he says, look at the birds. Look at the birds, how I look after the birds. Look at how I look after the flowers. They don't sow and reap. The birds don't sow and reap or store in barns. And look at the flowers in the field. And then he says, not even Solomon was dressed or arrayed like one of these. God saying, I will clothe you and I will feed you and I will see to your needs and I will make sure you're successful and I will make sure that your family's needs are met and I will make sure that it will be okay with your family and I will protect your children and I hold your future in my hands. Don't worry. Don't go into self-preservation. What is that? Where you think you're responsible to preserve your life. Where you think you are responsible for your success. Where you think you are responsible for what you shall eat and what you shall drink and what you shall be clothed with. God says, no, 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 no. I'm your provider. I'm your father. Look at the birds and look how I look after them. Look how I care for them. Look at those the lilies in the field. Look at the flowers in the field. And look at the degree of his care and how he wants to take care of you. He says, not even Solomon in all of his splendor. Now you got to remember that Solomon was the richest man that ever lived. In fact, Solomon was so successful and had so much wisdom and was so rich that the Queen of Sheba, that was one of the richest people of the south in those days, the Queen of Sheba, when she saw the wealth of Solomon, the Bible says that she fell out. She fell out, she fainted. She was rich. She was the richest person in the south. She knew riches. She knew wealth. But when she saw Solomon's wealth, she fainted. She couldn't stand it. She couldn't believe it. And God says, not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was arrayed or was dressed or was clothed like one of these flowers. So God's saying, I want to dress you like that. God's saying, that is the degree of my goodness towards you. That is how I would want you to live. I want you to expect the best. I want you to believe that I can be your provider in every area of your life. I want you to look to me as your source. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. I'm your source. I'm your father. I'm your provider. I'm the one who loves you. I'm the one who promised to care for you. I'm the one who promised that I'll never leave you, never forsake you, but I'll be with you even unto the end of the age. He says this, that in the book of Hebrews. And in the New Living Translation, it says, I will never leave you, nor forsake you, nor release my grip upon you. I will never abandon you or loosen my hold upon you. No, never, ever, assuredly not. Who? That's what the Amplifiers, that's how the Amplified Bible puts it. I mean, the NLT puts it. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. You can be assured of it. You can be assured of it. God loves you, my friend. God loves you, my friend. And he don't want you to worry. Worry is not only a form of fear. Worry is a sin. Worry is putting your trust in self, putting your trust in anything else but God. You see, God wants to be trusted. God loves to be trusted. He loves it when we look to him, when we look to him to meet that need. He loves it when we put our children into his hands. He loves it when we put our finances in his hands. He loves it when we put our health in his hands. He loves it when we put our future in his hands. He loves to be trusted. He wants you to trust him today. He wants you to look to him today to meet your needs. But so many of us, like I mentioned, think it's irresponsible not to worry. Look at what it says in the book of Timothy. It says, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and in due season he will exalt you. And then he says, cast all your cares upon him, for he will give you rest. But notice how he precedes, how we should cast our cares upon him. He precedes it with saying, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You see, worry is a form of pride. If you take the responsibility to meet your own needs and you can't make it and you worry about it, you're prideful. You're proud. You want to meet your own needs. You don't want to be given to God. You think you all that and you should do it. And you are the maybe the self-made man and you must do this and you must do that. But God says, no, 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 no. Humble yourself under my mighty hand. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself. Don't take the responsibility of carrying that care. You're not made to carry that care. That's where this life is going. That's where this dispensation, this time that we've entered into, this time that we're living in is going. Where people think they can go through life and should go through life depending on themselves, and the self is more important, and putting self first and thinking, I need to do this and I need to achieve this and I'm a self-made man, and if I do this and if I do that and have everything in place, I will be okay. But friend, where the financial markets is going and what things that's happening in this world, where technology is going and job losses that's going to be introduced in the next 5 to 10 years and things that's going to happen in the technology, I'm telling you, friend, now is the time to put your trust in God for everything pertaining to life and godliness. Now is the time that just this generation is going to realize that I can't do it by myself. I can't carry this care. This is too much. I'm going to cave in. I'm going to give in. This is not the way it's meant to be. That's not the way the system's supposed to work. Our relationship with God, that's not the way it's supposed to work, where you think that you can do everything by yourself. That's why God's speaking to us in this manner. He says, don't carry that care. Don't carry that care yourself. Cast your cares upon the Lord. Cast your cares upon the Lord. Oh, I want to encourage you to cast that care upon him. It might be a financial care. It might be a sickness or an illness in your body. It might be a wayward child. It might be your marriage. It might be a family issue. I don't know what your situation is, but I've come to let you know that God cares about you. God cares for you. He says, cast that care unto me. Cast that worry unto me. Cast that burden unto me. cast your burden unto Jesus. An old chorus says, because he cares for you. You see, the reason why God wants you to cast that care onto him is because he cares for you. It's because he loves you. It's because he loves you. He's inviting you to cast that care onto him. What does it mean to cast your care unto God? It means to give it to him. It means to, in prayer, go to him and say, Lord, I give the situation to you. And from that moment on, I refuse to entertain it in my mind. I refuse to worry about it again. And every time the devil wants to bring it up, you say, no, 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 no. I've cast that thing unto God. I've cast that care unto God. I've cast that financial care unto God. I've cast that child, that wayward child, that rebellious child unto God. I've given it to God. And you know what happens if you give something to God? You literally take it and you cast it. It's like fumbling up a piece of paper and throwing it to someone else. And every time the devil wants to bring that thing to your mind, you say, no, that's not my care. I've given that care to Jesus. He told me not to worry about it, and he told me to cast that care upon him, and I don't have a care. I live a carefree life because Jesus cares for me, and he said, based on his love for me, he will take my care upon him and give me rest. God wants you to have rest. God wants you to have peace. The key to long life is peace. The key to long life is rest. Worry and anxiety and pressure, and you absorbing all the pressure, thinking it's your responsibility to do it, is a deadly, silent killer. It will make you sick, not only mentally, but physically as well. It will cause ulcers, stress, and anxiety, and worry causes ulcers, causes cancers, spikes up your blood pressure, spikes up sugar diabetes, your sugar levels. Worry is a deadly killer, and God don't want you to worry. Will you humble yourself today? Will you refuse to carry that care? Somebody say, no, I can't help it. I'm just a worrier. I just have to worry. I mean, it's irresponsible for me not to think about it and not to give my attention to this thing. No, it's not. No, it's not. You're prideful when you think that way. You're prideful when you think that way. Because the Word of God says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Because he cares for you. And then he says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. I love you. God loves you, my friend. And the message that he wants you to get this morning is that he doesn't want you to be in worry. He don't want you to over and over meditate on the devil's lies. You see, the devil is a liar. It's the devil telling you you're not going to make it. It's the devil telling you you're going to lose your job. It's the devil telling you your family's going to break apart. It's the devil telling you that there's no future for you and your family was just structured that way and you're never going to make it and you're not worthy and you'll never be able to measure up. It's the devil feeding you that lies. But I've come to bring you good news this morning. God's got a good plan for your life. He says, shall worry add anything to your life? He says, each day has enough trouble of itself. But he says, life is more important. Focus on life. Focus on the life that Jesus came to bring you. Focus on the abundant life that God has for you. Focus on that. Feed on that. Meditate on that. Remember we said the word meditate means to run that thing over and over in your mind. To run that thought over and over in your mind. So instead of thinking I'm not going to make it, instead of thinking I don't have enough money, instead of thinking, oh, I'm going to die, the sickness is going to take its toll on me, it's instead of thinking this children is never going to come right, it's never going to get better in my marriage, our family is never going to get together, think and focus on what God says. What does God have to say about your situation? Focus on the word and focus on what He promises you. Focus on His promise. Focus on the promise, not on the problem. See, the devil wants to keep you focusing on the problem. He wants you to run the problem over and over in your mind. But oh, God says, I want you to look at my plan for you. I want you to look at my promise for you. And I want you to feed on my promise and run my promises over and over in your mind, in your head. The word worry also means, or meditate also means, to mumble to yourself, to say it to yourself. So instead of saying, I'm not going to make it, instead of saying to your neighbor, I don't know, I'm going to make it this month, and things are so bad, start saying something positive. Start saying what God says. Stop saying what the devil says. You see, that's worry. That's what worry causes. Worry causes you to focus so much on what the devil whispers in your ear that later you will put it on your mouth, and that the negativity that you speak is what the devil will use to bring destruction and death in your life. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. He wants you to put it on your mouth. Ultimately, he wants you to utter it. He wants you to utter it. He wants you to say it. He wants you to say that you're a failure. He wants you to say that you're not going to make it. He wants you to say that you're doomed for destruction. He wants you to put it on your mouth. Whereas the word of God says, in the book of Mark 11, Jesus speaking, when he talks about faith, he says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall believe in his heart that the things that he says, see the word saying there again, that the things that he says shall come to pass, shall have whatsoever he says. So God promises whatever you say, if you believe, that it shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. So the devil don't want you to speak words from God's word, because you're going to have what you say. So he's trying to get you to say what he says, and what he says is lies, and his deception is designed to take you away from God's promise, from the good that God has for you, from the prosperity that God has for you, from the good plan that God has for your life. He wants you to focus on what He wants for you. And what He wants for you, the Bible is clear in the book of John, John 10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your family. He wants to steal your health. He wants to steal your marriage. He wants to steal the good future that God has for you. He wants to steal your joy. God's got a good plan for your life, my friend. But worrying is the devil's strategy to get you off of God's plan and to focus on his lies. He's a liar. The Bible calls him the father of lies. There's no truth in him. Don't believe him. Don't believe the devil's lies. Believe God's word instead. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. His word is yes and amen. His word is forever settled in the heavens. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall forever stand. His word is true. His word is yes, and his word is amen. He has hidden his word in our hearts that we should not sin against him. He sent his word to heal you. He sent his word, and his word shall not return void unto him, but it shall accomplish what he sent it to do. God's word can be trusted. You can take God at his word. You can take God at his word. The key is to take him at his word and to stand by that decision. So many times we falter. We believe the word. We hear the word on the Sunday. We hear our favorite preacher says, yeah, God wants to prosper you in your family life, and God wants you healthy, and God wants you to be successful on the job, and God wants you to be successful financially. We hear it and we believe it at first. But when things start going the other way, maybe contrary to what God promised in His Word, we lose hope. We give up. We give in. We cave in. And we quit. The key is to do what Paul says in Ephesians 6. And Paul says in Ephesians 6, having done all to stand, stand therefore. The key is to stand on the word. The key is to believe that word. No matter what it looks like in the natural, no matter how things change for the worse. No, I won't believe that. Maybe I didn't get a contract in the last 3-4 months. Maybe I didn't get that payment the way it was supposed to come in, but I stand on the word. I believe what God says. Maybe I still have this backache. Maybe I'm still bleeding. Maybe this cancer hasn't disappeared completely yet. Maybe I'm still awake half of the time during the night with pains and aches. Maybe I'm still feeling depressed and my mental health is not what it should be, but I stand on the word. I believe what God says. It might not have changed yet, but I stand. I stand on the word. I refuse to quit. I refuse to give up. I refuse to give in. I refuse to cave in. I refuse to faint in my mind. Paul talks about fainting in your mind. He says, don't faint in your mind. You see, the mind is the arena of faith. The mind is where is the battleground. The mind is where the battle takes place. The mind is the arena or the area where the devil attacks you most. He will attack you in the arena of the mind. He will bring suggestions. He will bring a thought to you. But Paul says, don't entertain those thoughts. Don't let him beat you in the fight in the mind. In the mind, that's where he comes and he attacks. He launches his attacks. His fiery darts, the Bible speaks about in Ephesians 6. He shoots his fiery darts. That's doubt. That's unbelief. That's negative suggestions. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Cancer is going to come on you just like it came on your daddy. What makes you think you're going to be successful financially? What makes you think you can have that house? What makes you think you can drive that car? What makes you think that you can put your children in that school? What makes you think that you can have an education? That's how the devil attacks you in the arena of the mind. But Paul says, stand ye therefore. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't cave in. That's when we faint in our minds. When we quit, when we give up, when we cave in. When we say, no, this thing is not working. Keep on standing on God's promise. Abram stood for more than 25 years on God's promise. God promised him a son. God not only promised him a son, God promised him that he will be the father of many nations. And the man was childless. His wife was barren. And he was over 75. He was 99. The promise came when he was 75, past childbearing age. His wife, past childbearing age and barren. But God kept his word. The Bible says, but Abram was strong in faith. And Abram focused and believed the promises of God. What did God promise you? What did God promise you? Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't faint. Don't falter. Don't quit. Don't give in. Oh, if I want you to get something today, don't give in. Don't give up. If you give up, you will never know. If you quit, you will never know what God has for you. You might be on the brink of your breakthrough. You will never know what can happen tomorrow. You will never know what can happen next week, next month. You will never know what God has for you around the corner. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, victory is yours, but you've got to go the full course. You've got to take God at his word. We so easily take a doctor's word. We so easily take a lawyer's word. We can so easily take the word of a trusted friend. How about taking God's word? How about believing God? And that's the definition of faith. Faith is believing what God says and acting upon it. That's the simplest definition of faith. Believe what God says. What does God promise you in his word? What did he promise you? Focus on that. Believe that and act on it. Act on it. God's got a good plan for your life. God's got some good things lined up for your family. God's got a good plan. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you. Prosper. That word prosper means empowered to prosper. That word prosper means to go to the highest level attainable. Excuse me. I was referring to the word blessed. God wants to bless you. And the word blessed, the definition is empowered to prosper. So God says in Jeremiah 29:11, I've got good plans for you. I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to take you to the highest level attainable. Plans of a hope and of a future. Not plans of calamity. Not plans of trouble. Not plans of shipwreck. Not plans of failure. Not plans of destruction. But a good future. God's got a good plan for your life. But the only way that you will achieve and walk in what God has for you is to believe it and to trust his word and to take it by faith. By faith. You gotta take it and by faith walk. Even though you don't see it. Even though it looks impossible. Even though it's you the unlikeliest person for it to happen. Even though others don't believe in you. Even though they've written you off. Even though they're mocking you and making fun of you. You believe what God says about you. And you focus on and you meditate on what God says about you. This is Wilfred Zelier. Remember, keep walking by faith.
Radio Eerste Rivier, ons stasie, ons talent, ons mense. WhatsApp ons by 064-536-9095. Talk to us, die ding ruk hier.